Well, hello. I'm Matthew Cowles, for those of you who don't know. And I teach in Impact, one of the teachers up there. That's about all I got to say. So I'm going to teach you guys some stuff this morning. It's going to be fun. Now, like you said, it's Kids Sunday. So all of you I'm treating as kids. Just remember that. All I see is children's faces out here. Although some of them are children's faces. Okay, so we're going to begin. The topic for today is going to be real simple, sin. Well, that's huge. Sin, all right? You guys are familiar with sin, aren't you? Have you done it a lot? Don't lie. I know you have, all right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Okay, before we begin, though, we're going to pray because I need prayer desperately. You guys need prayer too, okay? Admit it. But we're going to pray. Someone, everyone, put your hands in the air. Wave them around like you just don't care. Clap them together. Put them in your laps. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. And let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much that I have the opportunity to teach everyone here. And God, I ask that you would give me the words to say. I cannot do this on your own. I need your strength. I need your power. And I will give you all the praise and glory for it. And God, I ask that you would use me now to speak to everyone here. And that you would speak to them, show them areas in their life where sin exists, and help them to be able to apply the truths that are taught here today. So I thank you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so before we begin, I know a lot of kids already know, pretty sure, the definition of this. But I got to teach all of you adults, because I doubt you know. So I need everyone to stand up. Stand up. And I'm going to teach you the definition of sin. And it has motions, like everything in Impact. We sing songs, we got motions. We do definitions, we got motions, okay? So sin, the motions go to this. I'll do it first. Sin is anything I think, I say, or I do that displeases God. You can do a little sad face with this. Okay, pretty simple. I'm going to start. I'm going to say a little bit. Then you repeat after me. You got that? Pretty simple. Pretty simple. Sin is anything, I think.
I say,
or do,
that displeases God.
You guys struggled with this last year, too. You forget to repeat, then you do it with me, okay? the kids are good at it in Impact, but anyway, we'll get you. All right, so let's do it all together now. Sin is anything I think, say, or do that displeases God. Very good. Thank you very much, Emil. Have a seat. All right, so very simply put, sin is anything we think, if that's wrong, like have a bad thought or say something that's wrong or do something that's wrong that displeases God. But it can also, a little side note here, can be something we don't do. So like not telling people about Jesus. We're supposed to do that. If we don't do that, that's a sin. Or not loving your neighbors, which I guess you could clarify that as not doing or doing not loving them and loving them. It's really complicated. But yeah, sin can be things you do or don't do. And I'm going to share a little verse with you. All right. Remember this verse because I'm going to share a story. Okay. I'm not going to explain this yet. You're just going to let this wash over your brains. Okay. Just imagine this like washing over your brains if you have some. Okay. So James 1:14-15 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Lovely verse. Lovely. So encouraging and wonderful. So just remember that because I'm going to share a little story with you. All right? Little story. I will let you know that this story is not from the Bible. You're thinking, whoa, I don't remember that in the Bible, because it's not. The story is made up. It's not real. It's fictional. It's fake. Are we all clear on that? Okay. So I did not come up with this story, so I'm not going to take credit for it. Someone else did. Anyway, I actually don't know who, so plagiarism. All right, so without further ado, let me tell you a little story. Once upon a time, that's right. In Impact, sometimes when the clicker doesn't work, we use the magic breath. And for some reason, I don't know what's so special about my breath. Nothing special there. But it helps the clicker to work. So, yeah, let's try this again. Once upon a time. Ah, there we go. Isn't that nice? Doesn't it make you feel so relaxed? Anyway, once upon a time in a land far, far away, in a sandy land, a land called Timbuktu. It actually exists. It's real. It's in Africa. Anyway, on a beautiful morning, we come to a place, sandy land, and we meet a man whose name is Mr. Abdullah. What's that? What's that, Mr. Abdullah? Now, Mr. Abdullah was a businessman. You may be thinking by his looks he's something else. I don't know. But he was a businessman, all right? And what he did was he would go around Timbuktu and other areas, and he would sell fireworks. A good, worthy occupation. He would sell fireworks, you know, to bring joy to people's lives and change children's lives forever. And it was incredible. But he had a problem. So he's in the sandy desert. It's hot. He would have to carry all these fireworks. He'd have to carry them everywhere and had to walk quite some distance. And he would get tired and hot and all sandy and stuff because he's walking in the desert. So one day, he came up with a plan. And he was like, you know what would make this easier? Is if I had a camel to help me carry all this stuff. So I should buy a camel. That's what he thought to himself. Think that's a good idea? Of course it's a good idea. I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, could he use a bike in all the sand? Could he use a scooter? Could he use a Jeep? Yeah, but why? Why? Camels are cooler, right? Yeah. Yep. So, anyway, he decided, you know what? I'm going to buy a camel. So, worthy, awesome thing to do, and it's actually really practical. Camels work really well in the desert. And I actually, there's a dude that's supposed to be coming here to tell us about this, guy who's expert on water, because camels can actually drink a lot of water and then go a long time without that. And, he was supposed to be coming. I do not see him. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and try to find him. His name is Steve. All right. I think he was here last year, so I'm going to go find him. I will be back. It's okay if I do, right? All right. So, don't mind me. I'm just going this way. I like how everyone's heads are all turning this way now. They're like, oh, wait. What do we do? We're just going to stand here awkwardly. I'll be back. He's probably in the parking lot. Okay? See you guys. Hey, Steve, is that you? Oh, what's up, brother? Long time no see, bro. What's going on? You know, nothing much. Dude, you're a little people in there, and they're waiting for you, and it's kind of awkward. Oh, dude, first of all, I'm terribly sorry. You know, I got to be fashionably late, bro. If I'm fashionably late, it's just, you know what I'm saying, Dad? And wait, dude. We're wearing the same pants, bro. What? Dude, we have a great sense of style. Hey, I know. Man, thank you for mentioning that. I don't know how that happened. Where'd you go? I'm not going to reveal that. It's embarrassing. Okay. Anyway, are they ready for me in there? Yes, dude. They sure are. So you better... I'm nervous, but I think I can do it. Hey, man. You got this, okay? And you know what? High five. You're going to do great, okay? You are amazing. You got this. Don't freak out. Oh, bro. Thank you for that. It's going to be great. So, I can... Hold on a second. I got to get through the door. My theme music. Wait, what? What? What happened to my music? Hey, everybody. There it is. I gotta have my music for my grand entrance. What's up? Yeah. What is up, all my bros, all my dudes? What is going on? All right. Oh, yeah. All right. First of all, welcome. Hello. Sorry it took me so long. I gotta arrive fashionably late. Am I fashionably late? Just say yes. I'm late. All right, so, hello. I was told I'm gonna come here and tell you about camels, because camels are Sick. All right. So camels are unique creatures. They are just creatures of nature. And they're amazing. So I want to tell you something about them. All right. So first of all, boom, camel on a surfboard. Sick. All right. If I was surfing, curving up the waves, and I saw a camel on a surfboard, I would freak. I'd be like, what? What in the world? All right. So it's not real. It's just an illustration. Don't freak out. All right. So anyway, I want to tell you something about a camel. See that hump? What do you guys think that hump is used for? Come on, someone knows. You got to know. They drink a lot of water. What do you think the hump is used for? Yeah, little man. Yeah. Right? I hate to break it to you, but you're wrong. All right. So it's a common belief. Don't worry about it. Like lots of people, they think, oh, the humps are used to store the water. That's why they last so long. Well, no, that's wrong. All right. So first of all, I got to tell you that right there is used to store fat. It's used as energy source when food is not available. All right, so when a camel is out there cruising in the desert and it doesn't have any food source and stuff like that, he uses that thing, that hump right there, to supply the energy. Okay? Actually, dudes are the same way. Dudes, not as in like dudes as in general, but dudes as in like dudes, me dude, like a man dude. They're like the same way as camels. They have their little energy source right here. A lot of them, they put it right there so when sources are low, they got something to feed off of. You know what I'm saying? Also, it works great for a little remote stand when you're sitting on the couch. All right? So, yeah, just a little side note there. Anyway, another thing I got to tell you about it. All right, they can drink, get this, up to 40 gallons of water all at once. If I was like a little surf dude and I could go inside a camel, I'd be like, whoa, surfing on those waves. You know what I'm saying? All right? It's crazy. And then another thing, so get this. This will blow all your minds. A camel, you go 6 to 7 months without actually drinking water. That's a long time. All right? That is a long time. That's crazy. Like, if you could go that long, 6 to 7 months, I'd be like, oh, snap. Oh, snap. But you can't. You can only go 3 to 4 days. Yeah. So, anyway, another fun fact, just to help you when you're in this story to understand camels, so you can kind of become one with the camel, is this. They can get up to 7 feet tall up to their hump right there. So they can get even taller with their little head up there, right? And then they could get up to 1,500 pounds. Hello, that's a lot. All right. And another thing, fun little fact, they have 3 eyelids. How many eyelids do you guys have? Who said 2? Well, you're right. Rats. I was wrong. Yeah, you do. Well, you only have one for each. That's what I was thinking, each eye. Yeah, so anyway, they have 3 eyelids for like each eye, right? And 2 rows of eyelashes. And the reason is because it helps keep the sand out of their eyes. Because they can't wear cool sunglasses like me. Have you ever seen a camel wear sunglasses? No. All right. So helps them keep the sand out of their eyes. Another fun fact, they could run up to 40 miles per hour. That's stinking fast. Okay? And that's all I got to share. All right, I don't want to brag that I'm an expert and know a lot of stuff, but basically I do. And I got to go. So thank you. You are all a lovely crowd. Thank you for hanging in there. I'm going to peace. I'll see you later. I said peace. That's what I said. All right. Later, bros. Oh, man. Oh, that was gnarly. Hey, dude. Great job. Fantastic at that. Oh, bro. Thank you. I appreciate that. And hey, Matthew Collins, I just got to say one thing. I know you do this a lot, but you, sir, are amazing. You are a kind freak of nature. You just remember that. Okay? All right. I didn't hear any laughs. It wasn't funny. Anyway, I'll see you later, bro. Have a nice day. Hey, see you, man. Take it easy. How's it going? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. Hello, hello, hello. You guys know why you clap, don't you? Because it was that awkward silence, and you're like, what do we do? That's okay. I know. I know how you work. All right. So anyway, thank you for trying to be nice. Welcome back. So we found out what camels are about. Fantastic. Let's get into this story. It's going to be great. Wind was kind of windy out there, and I was going to find Steve. Okay, so Mr. Abdullah, he needed a camel, right? Yeah, wait, huge caveat there. So he goes to the camel market, and he went, and he's looking out for camels. There's lots of camels, and he's like, I like that one. I don't like that one. I like that one. I don't like that one. When he narrowed it down to 3 camels, remember this, how many camels? 3, thank you very much. The first camel that he came to was named Holiness. Second camel's name was Sin. Interesting. And the third camel's name was, oh, wait, what is this? Oh, hello. Third camel's name was Denise. Meow, meow. All right. So he had these 3 choices here, and he's like, I don't know which one I should choose. So he's thinking really long on this. So we're gonna do a little exam here, we can say. Whoever thinks it was holiness, I want you all to say hallelujah. Not yet. Just remember that. I want you to say hallelujah. Whoever thinks he chose sin, I want to hear you say whoops. And whoever thinks he chose Denise, I want to hear you go, all right, if you can whistle. So on the count of 3, we're all going to do this together to see what decision you chose. Are you ready for this? All right. 1, 2, 3. All right. Well, I know a lot of you wanted Denise, but I'm sorry. He actually chose sin. Naughty, naughty, Mr. Abdullah. All right. This will come back to backfire on him because it was, you know, not a wise choice, but we'll see what happens. All right. So he took sin, bought him. He was only like $200. All right. Bought him, took him home, and they were just having a jolly time, and Mr. Abdullah sold, what did he sell?
Fireworks.
Fireworks. Very good. So he took him home, and he was packing up all his stuff. All right? So he packed up his suitcases and his backpacks and his water and his fireworks, of course, and then he loaded them all on top of Sin the camel, and he was like, all right, there we go. And he said, I'm all ready. What? What are you guys laughing at? I knew what you were all thinking. Okay. So anyway, he loads up Sin the camel, and they start traveling out on the desert to go to wherever to sell his little fireworks. They're going along. Do. Well, it gets kind of dark. All right. Do. Added effect. Slowly getting dark and dark. And they're traveling and traveling. He's like, I'm kind of tired. I think I'll set up camp for tonight. So he takes Sin over, and he's like, all right, you just rest here, Sin. And he gets his tent, and he sets it all up, beep-a-doop-a-doo, and sets all his other stuff out, makes a little supper, munchy-munch-munch, right? Then he gets in his tent, his nice, warm little tent. Then he goes to sleep. So he's sleeping, just, you know, lovely night. And all of a sudden, during the night, he hears a noise. That's not cool. He heard a noise, and he wakes up, and he's like, this is kind of what I look like when I wake up, too. I'm like, what? And he's like, what? And then he sees Sin, and he's like, what? 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 Ah! Well, that wasn't too loud on your end. He was like, ow! Did you just talk? And Sin was like, well, yeah, don't all camels talk? Mr. Duel's freaking out. He's like, what? I got to get out of here. And Sin's like, hey, don't worry. This is practically normal. It's perfectly fine, all right? What's the big deal if I talk? You talk. He's like, okay, whatever you say. So anyway, Sin asks Mr. Duel a question. He's like, hey, I've been out here in the cold, and I was wondering if I could just stick my little nose up in your tent there to warm it up, because I can't feel it anymore. And Mr. Abdullah's like, you're not sticking your nose in my tent, Mr. Abdullah. And then Sin's like, well, if I don't, then I won't take you anywhere tomorrow. Mr. Abdullah's like, okay, fine. Stick your nose in my tent. So he sticks his nose in his tent. And then Mr. Abdullah tries to go back to sleep after just, you know, this huge life event of hearing a camel talk. Miraculously, he falls back to sleep. And during the night, Sin the camel, our talking Sin the camel, he wakes up in the middle of the night. Again, he's like, whoa! I can't feel my front legs! What's going on here? So he's like, hey, I wonder if Mr. Abdullah let me stick my legs in his tent. I'm going to wake him up. Mr. Abdullah? Mr. Abdullah? Mr. Abdullah! What do you want, Sin? I was wondering if I could stick my front legs in your tent. They're getting freezing cold. Mr. Abdullah's like, okay, fine. Stick them in here, but then leave me alone. Like, okay, thanks! Hoorah! And then Mr. Abdullah, he tries to go back to sleep. And he's like, oh, man, I thought my feet smelled bad. Then he falls back to sleep. Well, guess what happened again? Guess what happened again? Sin woke up, middle of the night. He's like, oh! These are his back legs, okay? Use your imagination. Oh! I can't feel my back legs! This isn't good! He probably won't mind if I stick him in his tent. Hey there, Mr. Abdullah! Sin, what do you want? Hey, I was wondering if I could just stick my legs right in your tent there. My back legs, I can't feel them. Really, Sin? Really? Fine, but that's it, and then leave me alone. It's like, okay, thank you very much. He sticks them in there. Just try imagining this, a camel with his legs and nose inside this tent. That's weird. Okay, and sticks them in there, and then Mr. Doe's like, this is terrible. Falls asleep. Guess what happened again? Sin wakes up. But this time, he wakes up with a plan. Whoa. Wow. That was creepier than I thought. All right. So, he wakes up yet again, and he's like, you know what? Why am I the guy who does all the work, totes all his stuff? Why am I the one outside of the tent? I think I'll just kick Mr. Abdullah out and have the whole tent to myself. So, what Sin did is he stuck himself in the tent, and then with one swift kick, ba-boom, kicked Mr. Abdullah out of there from Timbuktu to Kalamazoo. All right? Thank you very much. And he was gone. And then Sin got in a nice little tent, curled up, and was like, ah, this is nice. If camels snore, they probably do. And what happened was, because of all of this, because of that one instance that Mr. Abdullah let Sin stick his little nose in, that he kept getting further and further inside the tent because Mr. Abdullah allowed him before he took it over. But if he had stopped and said, no, you're not sticking your nose in here, nothing, then he would have had the whole tent to himself, right? Okay, well, oddly enough, that concludes our story. All right, odd ending, I know, it's crazy. But if you realize, there's a lot of similarities to Sin the camel in that story to actual sin in our lives, all right? So, let me explain. Oh, I was supposed to be out there, just for added background. Looks amazing. All right, so, whoa, don't need that yet. Okay, so, what happens is, a lot of times, when we sin in our lives, we do a little sin, we're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. And then after that, we're like, oh, it doesn't matter if I do another sin or another one. Before you know it, sin has taken over our lives and has ruined us, just like Sin the camel in that story. So let me share an example. Who here has ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay, if you're not raising your hands, add another one to your list. Okay? Yeah. All right. We all have told a lie. So what happens is, taking a lie for example, is we lie once. We're like, well, that wasn't so bad. I'm okay, still good. So then we tell another lie, and then we tell another lie, and another lie before we've gotten ourselves in a big mess, messed our lives up just because we have become liars. And what happens is because all of that little small choices, we decide, oh, it's not so bad, not so bad. Here's what I wanted. By Walter Scott, he said this, not in the Bible. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. I'm sure you've heard this, and there's a lot of truth to it because it's just like when you start to sin, you're going to end up messing up your life and ruining things because you have lied. Now, there's other examples. Sin is, lying is just one example of sin. There are a lot more sins. Like, let's say not obeying your parents or not reading your Bible or praying to God. You know, those are all good things. We don't do them. They're sin. And if I'm sure a lot of you have probably heard of people in your life who were living for God. They were on fire. They were going to church. They were serving God, telling people about Jesus. And then all of a sudden, now you realize they're not living for God. They're living in sin, and they're the furthest thing from God. And let me ask you this question. Do you think that those people who were living for God on fire woke up one morning and were like, you know what, I'm not going to live for God anymore? You think it happened like that? No. It was by those small decisions of slowly, slowly walking away from God. Either they're like, oh, I'm not going to read my Bible today. Oh, I'm not going to read my Bible today. Ends up 5 months later, they haven't read their Bible. Or, you know, I'm not going to pray. And then stop going to church. And it all keeps adding up before sin has overtaken their lives and ruined us. So the point here is, watch out, because sin can come in, take over your life. So back to the verse at the beginning, James 1, 14 through 15, lovely verse, which really what this verse is explaining is that it's explaining how sin works, okay? So it says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So how sin works is it starts off with temptation. Satan tempts you with something that looks good. Satan's good at making sin look really good. And you're like, oh, that looks pretty good. So then you sin. And then what happens is that, you know, that desire of temptation gives birth to the sin. And then sin, when you keep sinning and it takes over your life, it when it's full grown, it brings forth death. Now, it doesn't mean that when you sin, you're going to die. But what it means is that when you allow sin to rule over your life, that it will ruin your life. So what do we do? This is a dangerous thing. What do we do with this? What can we do? Well, here's the deal. So you may have some sins that you struggle with. What you can do is you can go to God and talk to him about it. Say, hey, God, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me? Or you can go and talk to your parents too. Tell them sins you're struggling with and they'll help you. God's put parents in your life to help you with temptation or help you with sin. And another key verse here is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which says, it's talking about temptation here. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. With the temptation, would also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So understand this. God knows what you're going through. And he sees, you know, when Satan's tempting you. So what he does is he steps in and says, nuh-uh, Satan, whoa, back off. You're not going to let this person be tempted beyond what they're able. And he allows that way of escape for you to get through. So realize God is working ahead of you to help you have that way of escape. So there's a choice. You're not a prisoner to sin. If you're a child of God, you're free. You don't have to sin. And you can ask God to help you through that. So to conclude, last little final bit right here. Watch out for those small choices you make that are leading you further away from God, causing you to sin. So examine that this week. Think about all those sins that you found out maybe in your past you weren't this way, but because of all those sins, it's drawn you further away from God. Look out for those. Watch for those. And then, you know, confess those to God, your sins, and ask for his help to resist temptation, and God will help you. So don't let sin, like sin the camel, come in and take over everything by those small choices. Watch out for them and ask for God's help. He will help you. All right? So let's go ahead and pray, just like we would in real life, which this is still real life, but praying, asking God to help us to resist sin in those small choices. All right? So put your hands in the air, wave them around like you just don't care, clap them together, put them in your laps, bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much that you have made the way of escape for us to be free from sin. We are not prisoners to sin. It has not taken us over. We are not ensnared by it. There's always a way out. There's always a way out. Even when it's taken over our lives, there's still always a way out. God, I ask that you would help us to trust in you, that we would take that way of escape. Give us strength. Help us to watch out for those small choices that lead us further away from you. Thank you that you love us and will always help us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.